It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 227 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It's always fun when Sam Johnson and Mike Gagneau come to town to talk about their Almighties series and the latest versions that they're releasing. The latest book is just coming out, and they're wrapping up a tour promoting an R-rated version of one of the Almighties comics. We discuss what the R rating means, and I get a little fixated on that at times, which probably annoyed Mike and Sam quite a bit, but it's all in good fun as we promote their excellent product. We talk about the Almighties and what we have in the future in store for them, as well as other projects that they're working on. You can find out the latest at their almightiesamass.com website. If you know who the Almighties are, or even if you don't, be sure to listen because you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Okay, I want to welcome back to the podcast Sam Johnson and Mike Gagneau, the creators of The Almighties, a team book in its own right, and other good projects. How are you doing today, Sam?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Wayne?
Good. And you, Mike?
I am good.
Okay, Sam, why don't you start off with talking about the latest developments we have in The Almighties? What's going on with that?
Okay, so what we've got out at the moment is the Almighty Zero R-rated edition, which is basically a new edition of Zero. The R-rated is basically just an excuse to cash in on the success of Deadpool because we've got a Deadpool parody cover. So there's nothing too troubling in the content. It's basically the Almighty Zero with all the censoring taken off of the swear words. So we've got that out now. You can get it at Comixology.
Okay, now I got to ask you, though. You said the censoring was taken off. Did the original book have all the R-rated words in it?
Yeah, that's like asterisk exclamation marked out.
Ah, okay.
So it is, it's the same. It's just, you know, because we've established the kids love swearing after the Deadpool. we thought we'd... It was an excuse to put out a new edition because and I've realized this is partly down to a technical problem I had with the file server that the original Zero was being downloaded from. A lot of people didn't pick it up. It didn't get the review coverage it should have. And now having corrected that problem and this new edition out, it is and is going down well, I'm pleased to say.
Oh, good. Now, who provided the curse words? Was that you, Mike?
I think we both put in our fair share. Now, I am definitely, prone to including swearing in any story that I write whenever I can get away with it. Okay. So I'm sure a number of them came from me. Okay. But we had a lot of, there was a lot of collaborative work. Anytime we write a script together, there's a lot of collaboration. We kind of go back and forth and you know, tweak and rewrite each other's bits and give each other ideas. So it really is. I don't think you could pinpoint where the swearing came from one or the other. It's kind of an amalgamation.
I just wonder if you
there was a lot of thought went into those swear words, though. Just
yeah,
just saying.
I just wondered
carefully
if,
chosen.
I wondered if somebody liked certain words versus others, and you know, you wanted to make sure your curse words got included somehow, or how that.
No,
happened.
I mean that. The swear words, to be actually serious for a moment, there's nothing conscious about putting those in. Those come from the characters. It fits the feel of the book, as I say. In the original edition, that was censored out. The Almighty's One was rated teen plus, so it entirely fits the feel of the book.
Okay.
As I say, also, the link with the Deadpool thing is we've got in the Almighty Zero, we introduce our Deadpool parody character, Wayne Winston. The cover parodies Deadpool's New Mutants introduction from New Mutants 98. So it was kind of an excuse to put a new edition out.
Okay, so there's no unicorns in this book now, is there?
No, I know you had a problem with that in Deadpool. Yes. But I don't let that put you off from seeing it. As I say, it's very much in the context of Deadpool, and it's poking fun at pop culture. But no, your unicorns in ours, no.
Okay, that's
good. Although I think in the future, maybe we should try and find a way to inject a unicorn into an Almighty story.
I'd stay away from the phrase "inject a unicorn," though.
Okay, well, Sam, why don't you, for people who may not know what the Almighty's is about, why don't you give us a brief description of it and the characters you provided for the book?
Okay, so the Almighty's were a bunch of superheroes of sorts brought together by a dubious guy who had set them on missions that were supposedly taking on threats to America, but turned out to be serving this guy Whiteout's own agenda. So once they found out what his true motives were, they disbanded. And in this the issue zero, we've got Joe Cyborg, a shady guy working for the White House, looking at putting them back together as his sort of off the book strike force. The characters comprising the Almighty's, my one's a Miss F, former downtrodden housewife, whose husband wouldn't let her use her powers, and now she's broken free and she's using them and trying to be the best hero she can. Stefanos, guy that works in a kebab shop, no apparent reason for him being there. And Maxitron, who's a kind of Iron Man-esque, armored, arrogant, but with some sort of deep flaws behind his arrogance, and no sort of sense of he and Miss F have a bit of a thing, and he doesn't seem to know when is or isn't the right time to get into a domestic with her, such as the tendency is to do it in the middle of a fight.
Great. All right, and Mike, your characters.
I contributed as well the character Mace, which is a character that I had pre-existing from some kind of action violence comics, and he's essentially he's a psychopath that's an agent of the American government, of the CIA, who does black ops wet works. He's completely off the books. No one knows who he really is, and he's kind of like the Punisher's worst nightmare. He's the Punisher dialed up to 11. And the other character is Nightfang, who is a cocky British punk rocker who happens to have the curse of the werewolf. So he can transform, and he's basically somewhat of like the Hulk of the team, if you want to see it that way. So he's kind of the muscle. And both of those characters play really well off of the rest of the team, of Sam's characters, simply because we continue to play Mason straight up seriously the way he would be in any of his other appearances, but it helps kind of enhance kind of the satirical moments of the stories, because it's, you know, it's so ridiculous playing these other personalities off of his and him essentially just doing all he can to control himself and not just kill them all. Mm-hmm. Because he's been ordered not to. Mm-hmm. Or kill others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big thing in it. There's a second edition of the Almighty's one out as well, where we've got a parody cover of the infamous Batman bitch slapping Robin panel, mm-hmm. featuring Mason and Nightfang. Mm-hmm. And Mason's biggest sort of itch he wants to scratch in the first one is you know, he's quite restricted being on a superhero team. He's constantly asking if they can quote unquote bend the no killing rule. So he's quite constrained in this environment. And Nightfang also is not really a good guy as such. He's more there for the paycheck. And in the Almighty Zero, we kick off with Joe Cyborg reviewing the rest of the team with Stefanos, because Stefanos inexplicably has some sort of link to the White House and is trusted by both Mr. Cyborg and Barack Obama. So Joe and Steph are going through these dossiers to see if any of them should not make the final cut of the team. And the biggest question mark is Nightfang, as his origin is revealed in the issue zero, and you can see why this guy is possibly not, it's not exactly Captain America or Superman. And the backup, should he or any of them not make the cut, is the Deadpool parodying character Wayne Winston.
Mm-hmm. Now you
get a big introduction to him as well. Sorry, Karen.
That's okay. I'm kind of fascinated because, you know, President Obama is in there. And, you know, he'll always probably be in the book, but what happens if Donald Trump wins the election? Are you guys going to have to change the book around? How's this going to work? Or Hillary Clinton, are you going to have to move things differently? Are you going to move in a different direction? Or is it going to basically continue on the same way?
No, Obama is only in the book so long as he's prez. So he won't be continuing in the book because obviously he's going to be coming to the end of his second term. So who, and please God not Donald Trump, becomes the next president may factor in. But with the third one already in the works, there's a flashback bit with Obama, and then it's actually kind of moving away from though Obama played a key part in the first one. Joe Cyborg works for the White House, but say what he's going to be doing is off the books. So it's to be determined whether whoever the president is will have a role in it yet. It's going to be more, this is Joe Cyborg's dubious gray area super team strike force is what they'll become. Mm-hmm.
Are you with him on that, Mike? Do you want to have...
Yeah.
You prefer not to have Mr. Trump be in charge of the...
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Short answer, yeah.
But he's just ripe for all kind of satire and all kind of joking.
Oh, he is. I don't think that qualifies him to lead a nation, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
I think he's an entertainment figure.
Okay.
And I fear that people will mistake entertainment for qualifications.
Okay.
Yeah. I was having a discussion with a friend about this, and it's like, well, yeah, it might be rife for us to make jokes about. You've got to weigh that up against the potential of him destroying the world.
Yeah. Essentially.
So you'd both prefer Hillary at that point, then?
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's where we're
standing. If it's between the two of them, yeah.
Okay.
Because I really like the idea of seeing Bill in the White House again. That I just think that, to me, is entertainment, to have him kind of be in the background just every once in a while, come out and play the saxophone or something.
Mm-hmm. that would be nice.
Yeah.
Could bring out that old suit of his as well. If it's probably been dry cleaned by now. Yes.
Well, they said
it's okay for him to be entertainment because he's not the leader at that point. Yeah. You know, it's okay for the...
Well, they say that the interns are getting nervous, though, should he get in. So we'll see about that. So anyway, American politics is just full of all kinds of comedy, hate to say it. It's just not that the British government isn't full of fun, too, but...
Oh, no, I'm sure we could match you. I don't know if you heard anything about David Cameron and the pig's head.
Yes. Oh, that's a good story. So there's all kinds of stuff. You could make a spinoff of the Almighties that was in British-based or Canadian-based do all kinds of fun, because the Canadian government's had all kinds of fun stuff, too.
Yeah.
Well, so, man, it's just government. We got to find a new way to elect officials. We can't do this anymore because it's just sort of crazy. But anyway, we need to hire them somehow. Let them present their resumes, and we'll have somebody, some board or something, hire them.
Yeah.
Because this is just a mess.
I don't – without getting too heavy and off topic, it has puzzled me for years now how it is that elected officials can be – passing laws and making decisions that are not popular with the people who voted them in when they're supposed to be representing the people who voted them in. Mm-hmm. But that's just an observation.
Maybe the Almighties could take over and they could they start to run the government and stuff like that.
Well, I think Stefanos could do a good job because he's already running a kebab shop.
Yeah, I mean, he knows business, I guess. I guess exactly. That's the one plus Trump has, too, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, let's review where we are as far as the Almighties go. You had issue zero and issue one, right? Those are what's out right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So is there an issue two in the work? Are you guys working on another book? coming up? Because, you know, I hate to tell you, but you've got Civil War in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, dude, those whole things started off with some sort of a parody on the Avengers. And, of course, now you've moved away from that. But every time I hear an Avengers movie, I think, isn't the Almighty's going to come out with another book about now?
So. Well, there is actually, there is tying in with that. I've done like a little Civil War promo thing. I'm just going to, because I can remember the exact quote. I'm just bringing up Facebook while we're on this because I've got it as my current profile picture. There is always going to be that parody element. I mean, we've moved away, but it's a fundamental part of the Almighty's. So yeah, what I've got as my current, if anyone wants to add me on Facebook, I've got about room for four more friends before Facebook stop me. The Civil War II thing that Marvel have been running is something like safeguard the past and build the future or something. Mm-hmm. So we've got the Almighty's one, which is parodying that campaign with Stephanos, and the tagline is "Protect the past, fuck up the future." there is a context for it because Mr. Obama in the Almighty Zero, at the end of issue one, our agent Coleslaw got off by a giant robot Hitler. And Joe Seibel wants to bring him back. They saved the brain, and Joe Seibel wants to bring him back as a brain-damaged synthetic cyborg. So Obama doesn't really want Coleslaw coming back as a vegetable, but for reasons unbeknownst to us, he can't override, even though he's the president, he can't override Joe Seibel. So he sends Stephanos back in time with a cosmic cube type thing to try and save Agent Coleslaw before the Adult 3000 fries him.
I just love that name, Agent Coleslaw. I think that anybody who watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will get the joke on that one, so that's really good.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So if you guys are working on book two, and do you have any ideas to when that might hit? In a couple months, the end of the year? What are you guys aiming for?
Because of the time that, I mean, they're kind of like one shots effectively. So it's not going to be an issue to it. It'll be a new number one, and it won't be till next year. Now, Eleonora, the artist who's been the main artist on the previous two books, is working on it. We're up to about page 16 of it at the moment of about 24 pages with the artwork. Mm-hmm. So it's going quite well, but I'm also working on a Miss F comic, and we want that to. I'm actually discussing this with Mike. Again, sorry, this that I had a problem with because Pablo, one of the other artists, was working on it, and then he found the American style of comics isn't something he wants to pursue. So I've only literally just put Eleonora on that, I want that to come out before the next Almighty's because it kind of bridges the gap between where we are now and the next one. So it's going to be a while before the next one. So I would suggest people fill their boots with issues one and zero.
Okay. So as far
and
as...
And then check out Miss F when it comes out. So that's
and then the... check out Miss F, which is also going to be a while.
Okay. Yeah. So, Mike, you're going to do books on your characters too? How's this going to work? Is Miss F kind of the only one until the next one?
I always have my own projects and stuff going on. Right now, I'm actually pushing a novel that I have out, a zombie novel called The Island of Dr. Morose, which is obviously a tongue-in-cheek play on The Island of Dr. Moreau. But in this case, it's the post-apocalypse, and society's rebuilding. And while that's been going on, a mad scientist, for lack of a better term, has developed the ability to enslave the remaining zombies and use them as labor with cybernetic control collars. And he's built an island paradise for the wealthy off the coast of Haiti. And of course, nothing could ever go wrong because human technology never fails. And that's basically the premise of that book. And so the soft cover is already out, and the hard cover is coming out on Friday, May 13th.
Oh, cool.
So, good release date.
Is this where Donald Trump goes after the election? Is that what happens? For the wealthy?
Maybe.
Those are your projects you're working on. That's a perfect segue there, by the way, Mike. Appreciate that. Sam, what are you also working on? So you've got these good things happening. Of course, you do your stuff about you write things about Marvel all the time. Of course, being a big Deadpool fan and all that, you must have loved the movie. So what other things are you working on as well?
Geek Girl is the big one, and the timing of this is good because I've just put out the first sort of official, though I've been teasing it and putting preview pages out. There's like a Geek Girl Facebook group for a long time while it's been in the works. It's now just about ready, so I've put out the first sort of official promo piece for it. So Geek Girl is the hot college chick that lands a pair of super tech glasses, give her flight and super strength, but they also mess with her brain, which she isn't aware of. The initial impact of this is it makes her super klutzy. So basically she kind of falls into this. She gets these glasses on a whim and falls into this world of superheroics. And what happens, there's been a Geek Girl Zero setting things up, but the issue one kind of recaps that, so you don't need to worry about whether you've read that. But what's going to happen in issue one is there's a free preview digital comic which you can get if you Google, it's Geek-Girl and it's an issue. So if you Google Geek-Girl and then ISSW, you'll find the free preview comic. And as we see in that, what happens in the first three pages of issue one is she's out sort of trying to be this superheroine, flying around looking for crime, doesn't really know what she's doing. She's on the phone to her best friend Summer saying, am I doing this right? I've been out two nights in a row, I've not got any crime. And then the biggest superheroine town gets blasted through this billboard by this new mysterious supervillain called Lightning Storm. This neon girl being the aforementioned superhero is hospitalized, and Geek Girl takes her to hospital, and Neon Girl is not sure whether or not she's going to get out. So she's kind of like putting it on Geek Girl, you dress like a superheroine, act like a superhero, and go and take down this Lightning Storm. So she's kind of thrown into this world of superheroes without any experience, and has kind of got to learn hard and fast by aiming to take down this villain who's just taken out the biggest superheroine in town.
Very good. You're going to do an R-rated version, Sam?
No, Geek Girl is, as I say, the excuse for the R-rated version of the Mike was largely because of the Deadpool connection.
Right.
Geek Girl is more all ages. It's my most sort of, like, for example, it when I've done conventions, the image is quite iconic, this superhero with the glasses, and I've had you know, a little girl come past and point at the post and just like, Geek Girl, not knowing who they are, but it's the image has kind of struck a chord. So this is definitely, you know, for everyone. I mean, we've got like 16,000 in the Facebook group now.
Wow.
So I'm going to be, as I say, today's the first day of my sort of official building up towards the release, which is still to be determined what date that will be, but it will be later on in the year. And Geek Girl's got a following from the issue zero, but the issue zero was quite a low-key black and white affair, and the artist on the new series is more of a widescreen, and the colors fantastic. Carlos Granda is the artist, and you know, I'm pretty excited about this. It's been in the works for a long time, and I've spent a very long time absolutely fine-tuning it, and it's I'm looking forward to it coming out.
Now, there's a Geek Girl website, isn't there?
It's not a Geek Girl website. The thing at the moment is the Facebook group, because the main thing of there was a Geek Girl website, but the main purpose of it was Geek Girl Zero, which is now the only place you can get that now is directly from me. It had a good run. It had three printings. But now Sally, the artist on it, she's it was originally done in 2009, and her skills have obviously evolved since then, and the look of Geek Girl and what's going to be in the miniseries has evolved from then. So we kind of put that to bed. But if you try really hard and ask me nicely, you can get it from me. But it doesn't make sense to have a sort of commercial website until we know when the miniseries is coming out, and then there will be. I mean, it may not be a Geek Girl website. It may just be the publisher website with a Geek Girl thing on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I forgot to ask you, Mike. Where did we get your book?
The Island of Dr. Morose.
Yeah.
You can get that at any local bookstore, retail chain. If they don't have it on the shelf, you can ask for it. Okay. You can also get it online at Amazon.com. You can get it from my website as well, which is mikegagnon.ca, MikeGagnon.ca.
Okay. Does it have R-rated words in it?
Yes, okay. It does.
I don't know why I'm hung up on this.
Is this a requisite for you?
generally, unless I know specifically I'm writing for a young reader market or a market like I've worked for Marvel, and obviously I didn't put any swear words in that, but I tend to write characters that I can relate to with an adult perspective, and they use adult words and they get into adult situations, and that's my viewpoint, I guess. Okay. I'm not anti young readers books. It's just there's plenty of people who do that really well, and I feel like my niche is of a more mature audience.
Okay. Well, that's good. You know, as long as we make sure everybody knows, because I don't want somebody to try to pick up a book and say, "Whoa, where did that come from?"
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about comics now. There's a wide spectrum going on, and we just need to make sure everybody knows what's going on with the good stuff. So you guys are doing great stuff, and this is one of your last stops on your publicity run. So really appreciate the chance to get to talk with you. And again, all the good things that you guys are doing, Sam and Mike, keep it up. It's good stuff.
Thank you. We've got to plug the website. I don't think we've actually mentioned.
Yeah.
If you want to get the Almighty's, it's almightiesamass.com.
Okay.
And there'll be updates when there's news to tell of the new ones. There'll be updates there, and there's also the Almighty's Amass Facebook group.
Okay, well, you guys keep it up. Great stuff and great reading, and R-rated or not, it's worth getting. So be sure to pick them up.
All right.
Cheers, Wayne.
All right. Thank you very much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.